Hi, good afternoon, world. Wesley Pepper here, and this is my podcast, Mr. Pepper's Art Lexia. This afternoon, we're talking to a very dynamic, very passionate, and super talented lady, Zimkita, and we're going to be talking about the politics of, or rather, how the theater industry has changed pre or post pandemic. We'll be talking about how various projects and how she's been working with and how they've been changing. And yeah, man, thanks to all the new listeners. It's fantastic. I see the hit count keeps growing. That's fantastic. Thank you very much for that. And yeah, I'll keep coming up with really cool really cool topics and keep talking about artists and art processes, man, because you know I'm very passionate about that, and I find it's also very important. And just last point, man, so the next few recordings will all be, I'll all be talking to artists, the next episode, sorry. And then I'll be jumping on the topical or the more the political kind of bandwagon more towards mid August. So thanks a lot for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this afternoon session. Thank you. Okay, man. So Zimkita, firstly, like you know, just hearing your voice, just already, you know, there was just an energy already. So, and then your laughter, of course, just very cool. So nice to see you again. It's been too long.
Yay.
It's been a mursa time. But yeah, man. So for my listeners, let's just start by you introducing yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do, and then we'll just swing it from there.
Yo, every time I have to, you know, go back to who am I, what do I do? I always, you know, go into, you know, a quick, who am I? Who am I really? You know, after 2020, I've had to ask so many questions about the work I do, you know, and about what I've done over the years and what to do next. Am I still this person that I say I am? You know, in terms of the work and the art that I keep on doing. Yeah. So yes, I'm an actor, I'm a musician. I specifically sing, write music for myself. I've been doing the music for some time. You know, it's almost, 9 years now. And after that, I went into, you know, playwriting. And I'm also now a very, you know, active director. And it's been, you know, going very well also on that front. And after that, I would say, whether I like it or not, I am my own business, and I run my own company. collaborating with different, you know, artists and companies in terms of starting new work, performance art, including just storytelling, really, just breaking, you know, the grounds in terms of theater work and plays. And definitely my music as well on that front. So yeah, that's in a nutshell who I am. And it's been a very interesting road for like a number of years. if one can just open up a thesis about Zimkita and where her humble beginnings, you know, were, you know, just unpack that. There's a lot. Started way back when I was in Pretoria. Yes, and Pretoria, finished varsity, finished my BTEC. I think that was 2011. Okay. But I was already working. I mean, I was already on the ground as an actor. Got my first Naledi nomination, Naledi Theatre Award nomination, mm-hmm. back in 2011 as well. Mm-hmm. So, and it's been really an up. A lot of ups, a lot of downs in the process, a lot of wins, but a lot of losses. A process of innovations on top of, you know, more renovations and fixing and starting something new. So it's really been that's me in a nutshell. And definitely I would say, whether I like it or not, I'm also, you know, very outspoken about, you know, I don't want to call myself an artivist, but, you know, I'm careful of labeling anything when it comes to Zinkita. But I found myself in positions where I have to, you know, really fight for what we need and really fight for what I need in order to make work happen for artists. And also just not just for myself, but, you know, for my colleagues, you know, in the work. So it's been I keep on, you know, discovering things about me in this world.
Okay, man. So you said a lot there. Yeah. And you said a lot there. And there's a few things we want to unpack. Because as you know, like the whole world, we're going through this pandemic. Which has turned everyone's, all artists' lives around. So I also want to unpack, like, you know, because I know your company and what you guys have been doing has been like, yeses, man, there's like really great work. And so explain to me what projects you were working on before the pandemic, and do they still exist, or how do they exist pre-pandemic? And let's kind of unpack those processes. And then we can unpack the work itself, because my understanding of the arts is that the work that we did pre-pandemic is not the same, and is it still relevant? You know, I know that people's trends and their habits and are changing so fast. So yeah, is it still relevant, or, you know, or has it changed, and how has it changed? So go for it.
So
here we go.
Before COVID and the lockdown, etc. I was already busy with the run. I had directed Mike van Graan play titled Return of the Ancestors at the Market Theatre Lab. And it was, you know, it started off, you know, very well, beautiful opening. Yes, everyone, and people really loved it. It had very wonderful reviews.
Yeah.
It was only on for 3 days. It's still, you know, traumatic to talk about it. Because it was, each day was very special. Mm-hmm. The audience were really, you know, interacting. It was very interactive sort of play. I always make sure that, you know, with my plays, there's a lot of interaction happening, following the work that I had done before, which is Confessions of a Blacklisted Woman, She Bellows. So with Return of the Ancestors, I wanted to create that conversation again in a different way. So it was really, you know, it had great impact. But now, you know, the announcement came, the address came through from the president, and I had to stop everything. Well, even before the lockdown, the theaters, you know, were closed down, really. So we had to stop the show. We had to stop everything, reassess. And the conversation at the time was really about, okay, so when we open up, we're just going to continue.
Yeah.
As we were, you know, and I'm sure people will love, we'll just keep the momentum in between. Mm-hmm. Those were the discussions, right? Mm-hmm. So I, at the back of my mind, I did have the worst case scenario, you know, and I felt like, I don't think, you know, judging from those apocalypse movies, you know, nobody ever really comes back and things, you know, just, you know, I've been through these worst case scenarios. You think it's pouring. No, it rains, you know, the whole shebang happens all at once. And that is what happened. That's exactly what happened. There was no coming back. There was no audience ready to, you know, risk their lives to see the show. So we had to retrace our steps, especially when the lockdown, you know, got a little bit longer than the initial discussion. My team and I, what we did was we posted videos on YouTube about the process behind making this play, just to kind of create, you know, a sort of interest in theater and why it needs to be kept alive and why we need to bring it back, and let's, you know, find a way to bring it back in and save it, you know, and we're the ones who can save this work, you know. And we try to, you know, upload these episodes, and I think we had like four of them, you know. And by that time, it wasn't even about, you know, the footage anymore. It was about, look, we're going to have to discuss a new way of presenting this work, because now online theater is, you know, was always there. Yeah. It's just that not a lot of, you know, theaters were, you know, going through that. Nobody was really archiving that work for specifically shows online, and or any site for that matter that, you know, accommodates such shows. So we had to kind of, you know, go back, retrace our steps, start from scratch and discuss, okay, we're saying online, but what kind of online? Now we had to discuss, how do we separate the situation of the audience not being there? They are there, you know, where's your audience now? What are we gonna do? Do we use the footage that we took initially? Because we were taking footage, you know, throughout, you know, the runs and the rehearsals.
Yeah.
Do we use that footage, do we not? We decided we have to, you know, reshoot. So the Market Theatre opened again, and it allowed, you know, different artists to come through to shoot what they can for their shows. And obviously, they accommodated us during this time as well. And we managed to shoot the play again, which was obviously not the same, because now 2 months, you know, out of work as artists. 2 months, not really, even if you're keeping fit as an actor, even if you're ready, performance wise it's not the case. There were challenges like that, you know. So we were allowed to, you know, go back into the spaces. Luckily the set was still up, everything was still, you know, there. And then the struggle, you know, really started with the sanitizing. The in-between of sanitizing. The fact that we have to also work within the 6-hour, you know, restriction for the sake of, you know, sanitizing. Yeah, 6 hours. We only had a 6-hour period to shoot the play over 5 days. So every day it was only 6 hours. In those 6 hours, I had to capture what I could capture. Sure. And... but also in between, we are constantly stopping for the sake of sanitizing, you know, this, the hand. And also, I think during lunch, what would happen is that they would also, you know, sanitize the theater itself, auditorium itself, so that, you know, those things don't happen. So, and, but obviously, I'm also dealing with having to, you know, work with the actors in terms of learning their lines. They have their lines, but now it's like they have to do the lines all over again, remember how their energy was before, and the timing and the blocking, re-blocking them essentially, but not just re-blocking them now for an audience, but really blocking them for the sake of the camera and the shots that I'm looking for. Because again, I'm not looking for... a typical, you know, play that stage, you know, from a wide angle, and we're just capturing what they're doing on stage. I'm also trying to be creative and find a new boundary, find a new, you know, kind of midway where we can have, you know, funny but essential, you know, close-ups that can, you know, be surprising, you know, in terms of the audience, because now the audience is not like there, the audience is right here. So how do we play around between this gray area that's lying there between theater and film? So I'm trying to crack my brain with a lot of, you know, experimental, you know, options from my side, things in terms of the shots and angle, the plan that I have, the continuity that I need to bear in mind. You know, that's really a film problem, not so much a theater issue. So it was that every day. It was really that every day for 6 hours for the next five days. In between, there were things that were lost that were part of costume, and then that was a problem because we had to buy, we had to look for the same, you know, costume somewhere. Sure. And now that's delaying the shooting process because he has to wear that shirt, needs to be linked with the rest of the footage that we took. So there were certain things that were really, you know, that I was rediscovering all over again during this process. So essentially I was, you know, creating, I was re-blocking, you know, finding new ways of directing the play as well from a person who's watching this on the net, for someone who's watching this, you know, as part of, you know, a special on theater, you know. And I had to think a little bit bigger, in a sense that it doesn't, just because, you know, I'm doing it, you know, for this space, just to capture the footage, I kind of forced myself to not think of it from an archival point of view, but a showcase, so that people kind of feel that energy they were feeling when they were watching it, you know. So even those that I cannot reach can feel the same energy, you know, which is sometimes very difficult because you can never capture that. But I had to try, at least, you know, with the gadgets that we have. So it was a very, you know, pressure points struggle, in a sense that there are a lot of shows. I had to move out quickly, so I couldn't afford any mistakes in between, and, you know, the back and forths were times and were causing a lot of delays, because there were other shows that needed to move in after I leave, and they have to sanitize after we leave. They have to work. They have to, you know, use these spaces, and there are a lot of artists who want to shoot their work, and some were shooting it for the National Arts Fest, so there was a lot of, you know, time, you know, a time conscious situation that was, you know, it was very pressurizing too. So it had a lot of, you know, setbacks, that approach, but it also helped us to kind of capture what we could, so that when we edit, we get, you know, something great out of this whole process. So yeah, and there's really nothing much that we can do from, and just edit it, you know, in a very, you know, creative, and document what the process that you are going through. That is another thing that I kept on doing. So that when we out there, people need to know that it wasn't a cut and paste. There was a headache, you know, for, you know, compiling work and understand the kind of work one needs to put in. And it's not going to work itself out immediately, but it needs you to be a little bit patient, but really just fight it through also, you know when you without compromising the quality of your work, because also that is my, you know,
absolutely
the issue I have all the time when it comes to, you know, staging plays, is I never want to compromise the quality of the performance, the story, the way it is presented in terms of the directing point of view, and how the audience receive it. It really needs to be top notch. I know that I do not have the monies or even the resources that make a great staged, you know, play, but I am competing with the global arena, whether I like it or not. And even now with online, that is the case. I mean, currently I'm working a project where we rehearsing online. and that in itself is a challenge, because there's timing. Trust, things that you need to establish, you know, that you won't necessarily be able to establish when
you're
far apart.
That sounds
that's where we are now. That's where we are. It's not all of them are going to be 100% these, you know, voyages that we go through, but but one thing is for sure, nobody's like sitting there lying down and waiting to give up, you know. And because again and again, you know, theater and storytelling has been tested in so many ways. The concept of storytelling has been tested, honestly speaking, from before TV to after TV, to social networks, to the phones, everything, you know. There's always something that, you know, pushes, you know, this kind of art form, you know, to a different edge, and needs us to do something different and become innovative. So it's always a new fight, you know, a new decade, new fight. And now obviously it's in an almost unheard of, you know, fight. What I can be grateful for, at least, is that, I mean, hundred years ago, when whatever pandemics were there at the time, there was no option for an online audience, a global arena. Now I can, with the right resources, I can make sure that this show reaches more people than it would have, you know, it was just stuck in, you know, in one building.
Let me come in there. I have two questions quickly. Firstly, with that very tight and complicated schedule, did you finish? So that's the first one I'd like to know. But hold on, before you before you answer that one.
Yes.
Because I know there's no black and white answer, so I don't want to kind of like get my next question. So what I the next one is sort of a more long like answer like thingy. So okay, now the product is done. How differently is it received by the audience? Let me take a step back. I understand the anxiety of putting something out there that hasn't been tried and tested before. So how did you sort of, you know, how did you package it? But firstly, did you finish? And then how did you package it? And then we'll see if we can touch on the anxiety a bit later.
Mm. So with the footage, I remember on the day, because now we had to finish on Friday. We started on Monday. You needed to finish this thing on Friday. And I remember how annoyed I was by the end of the session, because all the brilliant ideas were suddenly flowing in the last minute when we needed to be kicked out. And it was terrible, because I was like, no, but I still need, and the front of house needs us out, you know, ASAP, you know, because wow, you guys, you know the rules and regulations. And I had to kind of, you know, finish that last minute scene, and I was just, you know, becoming creative with that. And it was so frustrating, because, you know, I just thought about, imagine if I had time, like, now time is the enemy, like, again, you know, so it was frustrating. I got the footage that I got, and I've been going through the footage together with the videographer, as well as the sound engineer and the other videographer, the cameraman. So I've been going through it in terms of kind of picking the scenes that, you know, work best, and what kind of narrative, you know, now directing it for, you know, editing, you know, side from editing now, and in the editing suite, you know, in terms of what scene, you know, works for the next, what's the grading, what's the best grading for this, you know. So I've been hella stressed about this part, because
I can
it's
imagine
really not my turf. So, but also I'm reading, and I'm out here making a lot of phone calls, you know, from my colleagues, you know, or former colleagues as well, you know, who are well versed in this kind of work. Because also I am working with people who know what they're doing, but also I wanted to make sure that in terms of, from a directing perspective, it needs to be clear that, you know, I'm still hands-on, even when this thing, you know, is now in this kind of package. So I'm wrecking my brain here and my creative juices, but it's still a process. We've been going through this process for the past month now. And in terms of how we want to tell the story, because also I wanted to have the same kind of potent energy that it had originally. So yeah, I'm still anxious. I'm still in my anxious mode. I'm still... every morning I have a cup of coffee at right about 5 a.m. and I'm trying, and I re-look my previous decisions, and then I send voice notes to say, actually, maybe that might not work. And please change this, change that. Perhaps we should try this. And because now I want to see this product, and it's really like that. It's honestly, it's really like that. It's an ongoing conversation. It's the repacking the pictures, the frames, again and again. And I think also I want the actors to appear at their best as well, because they were very anxious about, you know, performing. You know, after really having that energy log, I mean, we took 4 weeks to rehearse, And by the time we were performing, it was like in their blood. And obviously now they had this 2 month break, and now sometimes in certain scenes, it's pretty visible. So now how do you know compensate the situation? How do you make it work? How do you make it work to your advantage? There were a lot of those, but they fought very hard. Yeah, that's the thing. They fought very hard. They were very brilliant in their portrayal. But also there were points where I was like, okay, maybe we must look at the old footage, see how we can, you know, put the two together. So it's pretty much that process as well. And it puts me in a very anxious. I'm so anxious. I'm probably saying this for the first time, and I'm actually admitting this to myself for the first time. I'm actually pretty anxious, that I've been anxious since, you know, shooting.
God.
And because now it's like I'm going through that process all over again, and just now I don't know what the outcome will be, and I don't know if the audience will receive it with as much, you know, energy, and will they be interested in seeing the show? Who's going to sit and watch a 1-hour, 20-minute show online? You know, like I'm trying to, you know, get that audience, you know, to find this show also interesting. You know, I have to think about those realities, and it's the anxiety, besides the anxiety of finance, anxiety of, you know, keeping the lights on, keeping the grocery list. Now I think my really the bubbling under has always been, okay, I still need to make a brilliant show.
Yeah, there's still the art. There's still the matter of the art.
Yes, because if it almost feels like, okay, even if things get worse, even if things fall apart, let's at least salvage what we can and say, but this is what we managed to do, okay? And we are still very relevant, because it was a very relevant story, and it's been told in the best way possible. And we are still capable of making things not just work, but creative work worth watching and enjoying. And to be able to say that it is possible. And obviously the National Art Festival has been trying to push that, you know, narrative as well.
Yes.
And the different theaters have been trying to do exactly the same thing too. But, you know, from an independent theater maker, you're...
It's heavy, Baba, it's heavy. I know, man. Shit, man. Like...
It's that's when you're like, so the institutions, do they have a... Yeah, so but also it's the anxiety, it never leaves, but it's just obviously it's almost unbearable now, because now I think a lot of people have been asking themselves if this is the career that they really want to be in, and kind of, you know, going back and trying to introspect about whether this is how they would like to continue.
Yes.
Because also, you know, we have to look at the logistics of, you know, maintaining this kind of, you know, work at the end of the day. How is it going to work for you in the long run, or is it working for you right now? Those are the questions that a lot of people are, artists are asking themselves, especially, you know, performers, because every time I think about singing, because also my music gigs paused, that was it. no more shows. And I the equipment that I have in the house is studio equipment that is brilliant for studio work, not so much performance work. So even if I could set up, you know, footage to say I'm performing, it really needs to sound good. I don't like appearing with, you know, sounding like I'm singing from a tin, you know, or something terrible, you know. So I'm very, very aware of those things. So it's even from the music side, it's been wary and from the writing side, you know, you really want to write for theater sometimes, not just, you know, for film. So it's a lot of questions that I've been asking myself over and over again, and trying to kind of, you know, reason with myself as an artist, because I usually go for what stimulates, you know, my creative juices, what challenges me. And, you know, theater as a, it's been that for me.
Let me come in there. I hear you. So from what I've been picking up is that that's also why I pivoted to as a visual artist to creating content via a podcast, because I found those processes easier, and more importantly, I've noticed that since the pandemic, there's been a shutdown of everything. So people have only been consuming news, and has been depressing as fuck, and it was, you know, it's actually getting worse and worse. So now there's this growing need for content, for various content in different different platforms or different genres or different mediums. I mean, like I'm looking at, like, for example, Showmax, Netflix, these streaming platforms. They've really opened up their, you know, they're lying films from all over the globe. It's touching on various themes and stuff from it, which is it. So the audience, or rather how I see it, they're repackaging for a global audience. I see. So let me come in there. So, like, I think, according to your opinion, don't you think that's theater's future, is to package something for not necessarily a TV, but for I don't even know what you call it anymore, like a digital space or smart space, however, but it's packaged for screen and not for live. Do you think that's, or rather, what's your take on that, man?
It's always a tricky one. It's always a tricky one, really, because on one hand, let's package it for online consumption. And I think the National Theatre has been, you know, running that for some time. And there are different platforms, digital platforms that have been, you know, putting up a lot of theater shows online for some time before the lockdown. Okay. So now they're really going into that. Now there's room for this. There's room for this, definitely. In terms of the future, you know, packaging it like that, there's definitely room for that, because also the shows are going to be exposed, you know, really, like, globally, you know, and that is always a good thing. There's never anything bad about that at all. It's just that also from another perspective, as much as the Global Village is going to be involved in seeing and sharing work artistically, I mean, there are people that I otherwise would not have connected with, that I'm connected with now, if I had not, you know, if lockdown didn't happen, because of this, you know, these places where people connect and talk about the crisis and share opinions and share, you know, thoughts on what should be done, can be done, and ways of, you know, recreating, ways of, you know, reestablishing ourselves. These are very brilliant, because now we're sharing ideas together, you know, ideas otherwise I would never have heard about, which help us, you know, progress at the end of the day. But also, I've come to realize, with all of that, you know, everyone moving forward, there's also, you know, a chunk of, in this case, South Africans, who will continue now really fall behind in this, you know, theater as, you know, a place to even call a working space. They will fall behind unless they go into the city, you know, unless they move into the city or the main, you know, towns, because some of these cities now, they don't even the theater stopped operating as a theater now. It's probably, you know, a hall now or a church or whatever. So there's also that happening, you know, and theaters in some places are inactive, totally inactive, you know, really not, you know, being in touch with the artists that are of that, you know, of these places. So already theater was, you know, almost like an elite place for elite people, with certain resources to get there, certain understanding to, you know, watch that kind of work. It already had this high wall, you know, around it. And we were in the process, I think, in the last couple of years, you know, 10 years. I mean, already it's been there for some time now, but in the last couple of 10 years, there was really a drive for trying to go into the, you know, rural area setups, yes. your you know, your remote towns where nothing ever happens, to go and showcase a play, to go and do theater work or teach educational theater or produce educational theater shows in these places. There were community theater growing in these areas, and it was a viable option for people to train, you know, in terms of acting, writing, you know, and directing. It was for them to kind of be exposed a little, you know, as first step to be exposed, to being exposed into this kind of world. There was a lot of that happening, and it was starting to become, you know, a normal thing that whatever happens, you know, when we tour, we must make sure we get to, you know, these remote towns where people think they've, you know, been forgotten, these villages where, you know, nothing ever happens, they're not electricity, nothing. Let's make a show, let's go and make a show, let's go and, you know, showcase the play there, you know, get people to, you know, really be active about themselves and you know, almost like a place to, you know, stretch the conversation if your play is about, you know, sparking conversations. If the play is about, you know, imagination, creativity, using, you know, art as a way to grow. Yes. So, you know, there were certain things that were happening, you know, amongst us as performers, as theater makers, in order to kind of, you know, get our audience prepared for the shows that we are about to do for the future as well. So that we have a well-versed, you know, country in terms of art as a whole, you know, in what, no matter what, you know, no matter what sector you are in, you understand, you have a respect for artists, there's a respect for any art form, there's a respect for performance, there's respect for this kind of career, you know, and industry. And then just like that, you know, just as you are developing your audience there, just as you are developing the minds and the thinkers, you know, and the people who can be part of the really social change, we can't do those visits anymore. Yeah, those tours out. Are going to be, you know, that's out for some time now, at least. I don't know when it will, you know, so it worries me that that audience, because to tell that audience to buy data to sit and watch anything for an hour, it's like okay, which was, you know, that is why we were going in, instead of saying no, come to the town and watch theater in town, we were going into their places.
Very fascinating point. And I see how you mean. I was complicated, because that's hella complicated. That's hella, because it actually prejudices a lot of things. So yes, like it, man. I never looked at it from that point of view. Like, yeah, that's complicated.
Wesley, like, I swear I was more positive 10 years ago. I wasn't like this. I was like, yeah, you know, like, we're doing this. Yeah. And then I started seeing things, and, you know, almost like 3 degrees in three, you know, like three-way, four-way. Hey, no. And magnifying glasses and no. But what about this and that, you know, which, for me, and when I'm saying this, I'm not saying it's going to be a problem that cannot be solved. I'm just saying, let's also think about this, and what is the solution for that? Because already it has, you know, it's shown how already with the fact that schools had to reopen, it was mainly because online was not an option. It was not a working option, especially for disadvantaged schools. So now these are the same audiences, you know, that, you know, that was our bread and butter as well. That audience was also, you know, working with us for these plays. They had an interest in the shows that we were doing, and now we're saying no more plays, no more shows, and you know, and they will obviously not be exposed to this work for some time. And what does that do to a community at the end of the day? At the end of the day, what is really going to happen to our communities when we're looking at this? And there's only, and COVID is, until we find a vaccine, COVID remains a very, very dangerous, you know, virus. And we can't say, yeah, we'll do it for the arts, and then there's no life cover for anyone anyway.
Yeah, so we can't be naive anymore, we've got a lot of shit to think about, man.
My goodness, like I had to look at this three ways. So it's but also perhaps it could give room for options of how we can, you know, find ways to survive and find ways to bring those stories there. There's always room for that. I mean, we're going to, yes, the fourth industrial revolution and so forth and stuff like that, but we need to make sure that everybody in the process is involved. We don't get, people don't get left behind just because of where they are in the country, in the province, in the world, actually.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Shit, man. Like, yeah, it's heavy, man. That's, it's, and I had this like idea of where the conversation is gonna go. kind of like, wait a minute, like, what you're saying is like,
you know, these conversations are so lit. They go from, I don't even know what, how to describe them anymore. Like, I even had to take a break at some point because I was doing a few, I was involved in a couple of, you know, conversation with, you know, colleague people, you know, around in these networks in the industry. And then I got to a point where I was just like, okay, let me keep quiet now because I feel like, you know, I'm pouring more anxiety, more fuel to my, and now I don't know what to do with it. And I don't have a solution, and I don't like not having a solution, you know, and obviously the people who are fighting towards a solution, there are people who are fighting towards, you know, the income-based grant, basic grant situation for artists. There are people who are really trying to be, you know, changing the circumstances of the, you know, the artists in the country, but also in doing that, you know, what is the way forward for our work, honestly speaking, like when we're being realistic now and outside of the online world, what are we actually doing now for people? If we say we've been doing it for people to, you know, experience and, you know, and for people to kind of, you know, engage with our work, what are we doing for honestly the majority of this country? And we always say that everyone is involved, but honestly there are people who we never reach at all, and I think that is our majority. That's where the majority of the people are.
I just you know, like in closing, so to speak, you know, I just think, like, from what you say, yes man, I hear you and I feel you, man. Like, from everyone who I've been talking on in my past few episodes, I think, like, the time is now, or I'm getting that that themes at least coming through, at least that's what I've been picking up, is that this is our time now, man. Like, only artists can reason with multiple changing situations and circumstances and platforms and still conceptualize that into a product which you actually make money off. So there's a capitalism is attached to it too. And like, I really think, like, it's time to reinvent our spaces, because if I look at something like now, which is something that I'm also looking at to sort of discuss further in the podcast, is that because now everyone is forced to stay at home, now the design or the actual workspace, living space, social space is one space now, and that comes with a multiple so many behavior changes, etc. And you know, like, I think it's our time now to I don't know exactly what, exactly how we're going to do it or what exactly it is, but to sort of reinvent these spaces, reinvent people's, or sort of try to influence their behavior, you know, through our music, through our art, through our movies, through everything. So, yeah, man, like, I just, man, I'm
really kind of the
hoping to go that direction, eh?
It still is, you know. I mean, I felt it already in the beginning of the year. I mean, that's why I did that play. I directed that play as well, because I was like, you know what, maybe 3 years ago I was too scared to say, actually the government is not doing 1, 2, and 3. And now I was like, okay, I'm gonna direct this play. Okay, that's it. You know, I need to really explore why I say I'm an artist, you know, and why I say I want to, you know, create social change. And this year was really that year where even I as an artist, just from a place of, you know, introspect, where I wanted to, you know, write the songs that I want to write, say what I really want to say, you know, obviously, you know, bearing in mind the level of, you know, musicianship also, you know, that I, you influence, you know, the influence of the music.
Yes.
Bearing those things in mind, I had to take it there. But also, it was already in the air. I mean, already people, a significant amount of people already started losing their jobs from last year.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, things started happening. A lot of NGOs had to stop, you know. Yeah. A lot of funding was stripped, you know, from different sectors, etc. Especially, you know, NGOs were making a big difference in terms of orphanages, you know, hospices, etc. So there were a lot of changes already. There was a lot that was, you know, weighing heavy in the, you know, for people, you know, before COVID. So and it was almost as if, you know, artists want to say something. Artists want to, you know, put the work out there. But somehow, you know, those who get there, they're almost like, you know, almost silenced, and we're going to look towards a different direction.
Mm.
And they never given the platforms. They never given the attention, the spotlight, you know.
Mm.
And you can call it a curse or blessing, you know, the lockdown happens. Yeah. Now we get to showcase the shows.
Yeah.
Now we get to sing those.
Yeah.
Now you get to put it out there. And the people who need to see it will see it, you know. And obviously the challenge is always, how do you get to the grassroots level as well? So that even them, they don't feel like they're on their own. They're people. can relate you know, their stories, but also in a very, you know, engaging way. So there's a lot that has been happening, it has been bubbling under for some time now. And this year is that year to not, and I mean, I even a lot of people in terms of fans, and, you know, because I always just go over, you know, social media, what people are thinking, what people are, you know, what are their thoughts really. And some kept on saying, it's amazing how all of this is happening and we're not hearing our, you know, people who have the main stages in terms of musicians, actors, etc., you know, basically saying what's up and being, you know, vocal about the things
too
that are going wrong. You know, it's too quiet.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable. They
sound
so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, that's them. But also it gives room for us, the other people who, or the other artists, you know, to stand out. This is the a good time to stand out.
Yeah.
Then you will say those things in the way that you in your artwork, in your performance, in your music. You get to say these things, and there are listeners. Don't doubt the fact that people are ready to listen. I think this is the one time people are really, really willing to listen and receive new music, new ways of interpreting their pain, their struggle, their stories. This is the one time people are willing to receive. So I don't think any artist should hold back their side, the side that wants to come out. Don't be thinking about, no, but this is not right, won't be, you know, don't try too hard to be politically correct.
Yes.
Speak from the perspective that you feel like needs to be, you know, opened up to the rest of the world. And those are that is the work that needs to come out now. And I think people have been doing that kind of work. It is really the time for that. And the people are ready to receive that work. And
I agree.
We are in a position now where we have a global arena. We have people who are going to share that work. We got people. You don't even have to be part of a digital platform, you know, in terms of theater or shows or networks or whatever. You just need to plant it on YouTube. We get to share it. We get to, you know, and it gains that kind of momentum. And then you got everybody talking, you know, and it can be packaged in the way that you need it. You can package it in any way that you feel it needs to be packaged, whether it's from a visual point, arts point of view to a performance art point of view, you know. Yeah. And one, you know, former lecturer of mine once said, I know COVID sounds like it's going to, you know, sink us in and theaters are closed, therefore it cannot be done. But think about the fact that we were performing in open spaces for such a long time.
Yeah.
And the fact that we would make a normal ground a theater space, like we would just decide that, okay, we're going to use that quad and we're going to perform in that space. That becomes the performance space. People, you know, stand wherever they are standing. They don't have to stand together. Yes. So there are ways of exploring this thing, ways of unpacking these things. The structures, the so-called buildings that were tall buildings, are, you know, they're no longer any walls really binding you like they were there before. I mean, it's not to say the institutions have not been doing their work, but there's so many of us who want to say something, and sometimes it's not in line with what the institution stands for, and we cannot do work, artwork, for the sake of what the institution or the government stands for. Sometimes we need to say what we need to say in the work that we are telling for this time, for this period in life. And we often, artists are often, you know, brave enough to do that work. And yeah. Wow. Now I think I'm gonna go on and on, but like.
But you have but been going I'm, on and I'm on. Ve- I'm,
but because I realize that it's really that time. It's really that time, and to yes, sometimes the anxiety is going to weigh you down. Some, you know, some days are not going to be the same. You know, days are not going to be the same. The finance is going to weigh you down. A lot of things are going to weigh you down more than before. But this is the one time people, not one time, probably, you know, it's going to last longer this period. But like, this is the one time people are ready to hear what you got to say. And you cannot let this moment, you know, pass you by. Whether it's good news or bad news, people are ready to listen, because people need to kind of, you know, wake up from the depression that is the lockdown, that is COVID, that is the circumstances of unemployment, the circumstances of losing their loved ones, the circumstances of anxiety of their children going to school. All these things are happening around us, and our silence we should not be silent. This is the one time we should not be silent in anything that we do. So
wow. Thank you. Zinkita, that was beautiful, my sister. Thank you so much, man. Like, I absolutely 100% feel you, man. And I think you raised some really cool stuff there, points to about theater, man. But like, yes, like it, man, I feel you. I agree with you. Like, I totally agree with you. This is our one time when we can take advantage of it. And fortunately, there are some of us that is doing that. And yeah, man, so it's not all so much. But my sister, man, this was absolutely fantastic, man. This was so beautiful, man. Just in closing, can you just tell my listeners where can they watch your play and when and how and all of that? Yeah.
Okay. So far with Return of the Ancestors, it will be coming back. But we still, you know, confirming in terms of, you know, when's the right time online to catch it. And obviously the day people are allowed to, you know, come into theaters, we'll see if we can restage it once more. But for now, it's a pending show. And the next show that I'll be, you know, showcasing is under the Amavuso Project. So please follow the Amavuso Project. That is a show where we are rehearsing online and we are using our multimedia, you know, options and and ways of renovating, you know, into online spaces without, you know, obviously endangering each other. And it's a collaboration between Nimbe Trust and Sibigwe Arts Theatres. Nimbe Trust is from Zimbabwe. Okay. So it's an international collaboration in that sense. And I get to direct the piece, which is like amazing for me right now. And also my album is, you know, I'm still kicking the album, my debut album, which is like also a nerve-wracking, you know, session altogether.
Has an incredible voice. I think she's got like an incredible, incredible voice. So like, Just look out for that.
Yes. So, and just to follow it up, all my socials, it's Zimkita_SA or Zimkita_SA. As long as it's Zimkita_SA, you'll find me. Any questions, DM me in terms of, you know, what we can do. Let's collaborate. Let's think, you know, let's think of another way forward. Let's work together during this time. Let's definitely move. Let's definitely move. Oh, but I still wanted to ask with you, like, I'm still, you know, in a position where I'm conflicted, but maybe another actor will, you know, have this conversation of actors. They go into sets and they work and they have, you know, masked everything and they start working in these spaces, but obviously after that, you know, when you're shooting scenes, you know, you can't be wearing a mask, you know, and you
yeah that's complicated.
And there's you know, there's really not much that can be done. And I wonder, you know, from, you know, production side and, you know, but also not productions, but from you know, the channels, the networks, you know, I wonder sometimes what the, with all these risks that are taken, if their health is, you know, taken care of, you know, during this time. But which but obviously if you like enough to be working during this time, but I just often wonder with these cases, you know, that there's so much that artists are doing, you know, and I have to say big up to those actors, you know, going to these spaces during this time, who are shooting in these sets, and they don't they can't be wearing any screens, they can't be wearing they acting.
Being
and
an
you have to trust your co-actor.
Just
putting it out there, that is still a risky business. It remains riskier.
I like that, that was great. Zimkita, thanks a lot, my sister, man. I'll call you in the week. Big up, my sister. Big up, Zimkita. Thanks a lot for this, man. And thanks for being part of it. And I will keep in touch with you. Just continue, man. Just continue working, man. And all the positivity and light and love and